Okay, it's 7 o'clock, Town of Bolton, Board of Selectmen's meeting, Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024, 7 p.m. at the Town Hall and Zoom. I'd first like to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I'd like to call this meeting to order. And we'll start with public comment. Is there anybody here for public comment? Going once.
Can I make a public comment? As a member?
We'll give it a try.
So I just wanted to make a comment for the board and for town staff. Following conversations that I've had with the finance subcommittee and based on what I feel is important for the public during as we head into this year's budget season, just wanted to outline some things that I'm hoping we can see in this year's budget from the town side. You know, given some of the issues that have gone on with taxes, I think it's important that we rebuild trust with the townspeople. And I think the more information we can provide and be transparent about, the more likely it is that we will build that trust. And so I'm hoping that we can provide descriptions from each department that outline, you know, what that department does and their FTEs that are part of that department. Some of that can probably just be taken from their annual report, so I don't think it would be a heavy lift. Would like to see the percent change between the appropriated dollar value for FY25 and their request for the next fiscal year, 26. It would be great to see a justification for each line item detailing how the numbers were obtained, as well as a reason for any increase or decrease. That's ideally on the same row as that category and not on a separate page, because that's very hard to follow when we get it that way. You know, it's my thinking that asking for this request shouldn't be too unreasonable, as the director should have all this data already and information on hand as they build these requests since we utilize a zero-based budgeting process. As discussed in the past, it would be great to see a detailed breakdown of the justification for the professional tech services and other technical services line items, because they are so huge and are made up of a variety of different contracts, and I think it would be great to be transparent about that. And then lastly, I think it would be great if we could have our director of finance be in attendance at all the budget workshop meetings, since she is our expert on all things finance for the town. And ideally, she would be able to make the live changes to the budget as we go and make changes in real time for us in an Excel spreadsheet. And if the board could also get access to that Excel spreadsheet along with the PDFs, that would be excellent as well.
You may come back on this side of the table.
Yeah.
I do have an example of a potential Excel spreadsheet, but my printer didn't work, so I can't print it out.
So if there's no other public comment, we'll move on to
I have one.
Yes.
And I would just like to take a moment to extend our condolences to the Rell family. She is a super lady and spent an unusual amount of time in this community for a small town, for her to do all that, and really was a good friend for all who knew her. Even if you met her two or three times, she was your friend, and a great loss for the town and personally a loss. I just want to
thank you, Bob.
I'm sorry, could I get the name of the family you said? Rell?
Governor Rell.
Governor Jody Rell.
Oh, her funeral was today.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. All right. Yes. Thank you.
Along those same veins, I mean, I think we would be remiss if we didn't extend our condolences to the Romke family. Allison passed away last week in a freak accident. She used to be a member of our Board of Education, was really committed to the schools in our town. I didn't know her very well, but had heard of her, and she was very well loved and far too young to pass away. So yep. Our condolences to their family as well.
Thank you. Now, shall we move on to A, the minutes from November 5th? And then, like said.
Yeah, I'll move the acceptance with filling in the gaps under other persons present in person were both Kyle and Tom Pajoli. And then go down and to public. It was Tom Pajoli that asked the board to consider the implementation of the right to farm ordinance, and going down to
Ellie King.
I missed that one. Where's that?
Oh, Ellie.
Oh, Holly's Ellie. Okay.
Yeah, and then there's
Bill Anderson.
And Bill Anderson instead of Roy. And then going down to paragraph that starts Sylvia and the question mark. Those question marks are dog waste.
They're what?
Dog waste.
Yes, right, right. Yep. Yeah. Could you spell that?
Dog, D-O-G-W-A-S-T.
Dog waste, dog poop.
Dog poop.
Oh, dog waste. I thought she said doll-way. And then, so you said Pajoli. Is that, I believe Kyle's on the phone, right? I just want to make sure I have that last name spelled correctly.
P-A-G-G-I-O-L-I.
I-O-L-I. Okay. Thank you. I'll make that correction.
Okay. So were you making a motion?
Yes, I was making to approve the motions with those corrections.
I'll second. Amanda.
Was that both? Was there any discussion? Was that both or just the November?
Just in November.
Is there any other comments?
Tim will abstain.
Tim Sadler abstains. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 6-5. Yes. Pam Sawyer's absent. Tim Sadler's abstaining. Now for the minutes of November 19th, a special AP meeting.
I'll move the acceptance as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
That's, is that it?
Always another option.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. Mather Clark is abstaining. Pam Sawyer is absent.
Yes.
And so next we're going to go to consider an act on approving agreement regarding designation of fire marshals. You want to?
So for many years, we've had a very loose agreement with neighboring towns to provide assistance to each other when a fire marshal is not available. And Bill has been working with Fire Marshal Lester over in the town of Columbia to formalize that into a written agreement. So it might be best to turn the floor over to him at this point, Mr. First Selectman.
Bill Koff?
Essentially, I don't know if you had a chance to look over this document, but it just adds some legal backing, protection to the town, protection to the multiple towns involved in this particular incident. As you know, I'm part-time. I have one deputy fire marshal, Jim Quish, who is sometimes limited by his hours to work due to other financial reasons. And Jim Rupert had worked with Mike Lester for some time on a casual basis in the past, but we need to make it limited. So essentially, Mike, for now, will become a deputy fire marshal for the town of Bolton, and I will become a deputy fire marshal in their town. And it would give the coverage fire marshal the ability to call in state resources, for an example, the state's investigation team or whatever is requested as a deputy fire marshal for this particular town, the town of Boulder. So there's protection. There was no money exchanging hands. There's no issues with that. You know, I help him. He helps us. Maybe in the future we might expand it a little bit, but at this time we're just going to try it out, see how things work. I think last year, once or twice, he was notified and he was on the way here, got called off. He wasn't really needed at that time. So that's all this document is. The town administrator from Columbia did have a couple of things he wanted to change, which they did. And now they have approved it. And I'm respectfully requesting this body to approve this document, and we can move forward.
Is there any questions?
Of course. Thank you for working on putting this together. You said no money changes hands, so you would be assisting them under your time for us. Like, I just want to make sure you're getting compensated and they would be getting compensated for their time.
It depends. I'm somewhat limited by hours. I mean, It's not a concern at this time for either one of us. Okay. You know, I'm going to go over there and help them.
But the answer is yes. He
for the most part.
If he goes to Columbia, I would expect it to be on his timesheet.
Okay, great.
And Columbia does things a little differently than we do here. The fire marshal there gets a monthly stipend, so he's compensated. And you know, and I'm actually still on the books in Columbia as a deputy fire marshal. I have been for probably 12 years now. I did get a call recently when their two fire marshals were not available, but of course that was out of state. But Mike Lester is a like-minded individual. We've worked very closely together. You know, he has a full-time job outside of the community, so I've covered for him a couple of times when he had to drive in from work at Pratt Whitney and more complicated fires. It's also really nice to have another fire marshal there to bounce ideas off of and talk about cause and origin and be able to really come up and pinpoint and different individuals have different areas of expertise, which is also quite helpful.
And then the only other comment I have is that Rodney, you're going to have to be the one to sign it because you're the CEO, not Jim.
Right. Is there any other questions for Mr. Collin? Shall we make a motion to?
Excuse me.
I move to accept it with the modification that it is signed by the first selectman of the town board.
Is there a second?
I'll second. That's Amanda.
And Amanda, any other questions, concerns? All in favor?
I think our clerk
has. Your clerk, yes.
I didn't get the name of the person who was speaking.
William Call. William.
Did you spell it?
W-I-L-L-I-A-M, last name C-A-L-L.
Okay, and who?
His title is fire marshal.
I'm sorry?
His title is fire marshal.
Fire marshal. And then who made the motion?
Bob Mora.
Okay. Thank you. Seconded. I apologize.
So we took a vote. All in favor? Aye. All right, that's 6 yes and 1 absent. Motion passed.
Quick question. Do you need one document signed by everybody, or can we just...
One document.
We want one document?
And that one change has to be made on that one document.
Okay. Yeah. Just a matter of...
So really what you should do is get two documents.
Yep.
They sign two documents, we sign two documents, and then everybody has an original.
Right. Okay.
Three, and, right?
Well, we need one or two, right? There has to be three total.
Oh, three. Sorry, three.
Right.
Three. Yeah. One for each time.
And then we will file our original in the town clerk's office.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we're going to consider an act on the right to farm law. We would like to adopt that for Bolton's benefit. Is there any...
Well, I think that I believe we need to hold a public hearing before we adopt it.
Right. So we would have to put a draft ordinance together.
And yeah. Put a draft and do that. Yeah. And that's probably, you know, that would be January.
We've got others that we're working on anyway, so the timing is good.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to express my support for this. I think that it would be a really good way to show that the town of Bolton supports agriculture, which we have some key parcels in town and key people like Tom Jolie, who brought this to our attention, that keep the agricultural history of the town going, and they provide food. They provide local food for all of us to enjoy, and their farms, keeping their farms open, and Bob Mora too. Keeping their farms open is not only aesthetically pleasing, but it's good because it protects water, it protects soil, it protects air. So I support this, and I just want to make it clear that this doesn't prevent the purpose of it is to prevent people from suing farmers for nuisances for smells, noise, chemicals, water, and dust. So that it's fairly limited in that way in what it actually protects farmers from. Like if somebody comes and complains to Tom Pajoli that the manure smells, this is not going to protect Tom from that. It protects, but it would prohibit that that neighbor from suing Tom for the odor. So it it prevents nuisance lawsuits based on those five things. But I really like the idea of, as you saw, some of the sample ordinances that were contained in the packet that Tom provided, which were very helpful. They have nice introductory statements about the purpose of adopting this kind of an ordinance. And I think it would be really nice to, for us to have that in our on our town website as part of our ordinances. So I completely support us going with to a public hearing and then adopting it an ordinance.
Minute.
I too am in support of it. I just want to clarify that regardless of whether the town adopts this ordinance or not, farms are still protected because it's a state law. So this is more performative and to show our support for farms and not to make sure that the law applies. The law already applies to farms throughout the state of Connecticut based on what we read.
Right, so, but there's also, with our concerns that do occur is this also makes a clear statement is that the community is not going to go in, not going to go into to a direction or create its own ordinances that would basically prohibit certain types of farming and farming in here. And it's just a little bit of I know it's more of a comfort level than anything else, but also it, as Gwen said, it says the statements about the community and what it likes and what it wants. So ditto on what you said.
So I would like to make a motion to set this set a public hearing on to consider. Well, I guess we have to get this to our town attorney to prepare the ordinance first. So maybe we should do that before we set. Well,
and there's others.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not sure which. I guess we can't set a public hearing until we actually see the ordinance.
Right.
So maybe we'd have to wait until our January meeting to set
the really
public hearing.
Set
it. Yeah. My goal is to have the ordinances ready for your review again in January.
Okay.
That's good.
So everybody's in favor of moving it forward at that pace. Okay. Very good.
You go home. Thank
you.
Good night.
Night. Thanks for coming, Tom. Consider an act on a motion entering into a 36-month contract with 0% interest for excavating. So we've already had the money, or we don't have. We've already got the approval. It was just a matter of.
So the minutes really didn't reflect what we discussed, and we really need our minutes to reflect what we discussed, and so I put together a draft motion for you. But the other thing that I realized our motions also did not address is the fact that we talked about this machine as being purchased on the state bid list, and we are waiving the bidding process because it's being purchased from the state bid list. And we need our minutes to reflect that as part of our agreement with Takahuchi.
So we just add from state bid list on
yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I was under the impression that we were buying a new excavator, and this one has 150 hours on it. So did everybody know that there it had 150 hours? It was a used machine?
I didn't know that. No. Did you know, Jen?
It says, I just learned it went from this draft.
So I learned that about 3 weeks ago when we were talking with the company that is selling it to us. A new machine is about $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this would not be the first time that we are buying a gently used machine to save a significant amount of money. We did that a couple of years ago with the skid steer.
Skid steer and also payload. Payloader was a used vehicle that Mohegan Sun had used for snow removal and for 1 year use. And it is remarkable the depreciation you have for so little use on them. So those are the buys you look for. And we have successfully done that numerous times in the past.
And our highway foreman has been there. He's seen the machine. He's operated the machine. He is very satisfied with the machine. And I am told from the company we're purchasing it that it comes with a full factory warranty.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And we will get that in writing.
Man.
Do you know what year it is?
I honestly don't know off the top of my head.
And how much we allocated in CAPA this year for it?
$25,000, and we haven't. It's enough to cover the lease for the balance of this fiscal year.
Okay, that was.
I did that calculation.
Okay.
So we would be paying $25,000 a year.
No, we would allocate. I think it's $3,200, $200 and something a month. So we would do that math and have that allocation in the capital budget for next year, and then the following year, and then a portion the following year.
So the lease is going. The lease requirements are monthly payments.
Yes. And a $1 purchase at the end of the lease.
So, Mather, I just have to ask you, since I think you have the most experience around this table with machinery, does a $30,000 discount, I'm taking the 150 new to 120 used, does that 120, do you think, accurately reflect 150 hours of use?
Yeah. If those are the actual numbers, I've never priced one of these particular machines at a dealer to know what you could get one for.
I'm seeing about 143 for 2024.
Yeah, I'm seeing that's one about, for 127.
It seems like it was.
But it depends on what it comes with. Yeah, that's
yeah,
the issue.
Yeah, this comes with a bucket.
And we're also getting an extra bucket.
Yeah, oh, an extra okay. bucket with it. So that's
yeah, $1,000.
Anyhow. Well, I'll move that the Bolton Board of Selectmen authorize the town administrator enter into a 36-month lease purchase agreement at 0% interest with Takahashi Financial for the lease purchase of an excavator. The excavator is a Takahashi TB 290 CR with approximately 120 hours of use and will be purchased with an additional bucket. The lease has a total value of $120,200 with a $1 purchase option at the end of the lease to be purchased through the CROD bid process.
No, it's a state bid list.
Oh, to a state bid list?
Yep.
Sorry. To the state bid list.
And don't we also have to waive?
That should be part of the motion.
Go. Let's see. Therefore, the normal bid process is to be waived.
Is there a second?
A second.
Is there any other discussion?
I just want to note that Bob, I know that you meant to say 150 hours, but you said 120 hours. So I just want to make sure that the motion says 150 hours. You were probably thinking 120.
I was. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Good catch.
I stand corrected, and the motion is corrected to read 150 hours. Thank you, Quinn.
You're welcome.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. So it's 6 yes and 1 absent. See, next on the list is consider an act on approving the 2025 meeting dates. As shown on two pages, 30 something meeting dates. And the second date, and several of these is the CBA has a meeting at 7, so.
Those are 8
days. Does anybody have any questions on these? at this point.
We can adapt it, and if issues happen, like anything else, we can modify them.
And the November one is just a Monday because so we're not meeting on Election Day. Is that why that one was changed? November 3rd.
Yeah, that's local elections, right? The 4th.
Yep, it is. Election Day is the 4th.
You made that very clear, didn't you?
Yes, very bold on me.
All right, so we're all in agreement that these dates will.
Do we have a vote on?
Yes, if we do, then.
Then I'll move the adoption of the schedule as presented.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. 6 yes. The motion passed. Next is consider an act on AP and any budget transfers. So if I do this budget transfer first, there's only one budget transfer that was presented today, and that was a transfer of $3,000 town building operations budget. It's for supplies for postage. From supplies to postage to cover the tax bills that are the checks that are going out and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that's it's not.
No, we don't. We only got it late. So
we don't want to hold up the hold up the checks on him.
Yep.
So it's more than $3,000.
It's more than I can approve. Right. So it has to. The board has to approve it.
I'll move the transfer as presented.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Now for the we did stick in here the finance committee meeting schedule.
That's information
wanted to see it. So now for the accounts payable.
I'll make a motion that we approve the accounts payable as presented for the amount of $304,387.79.
Okay, second.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? Amanda.
All right, page 3. I was wondering why 3 different vehicles all needed windshield replacements.
They got pitted.
Oh,
well, they've been going for a while, apparently, and you know they're heavy use vehicles. These are all highway garage vehicles, and so you know safety and visibility is important. So they decided to change those windshields. And I think it was cheaper to have multiple done in one visit than it was to have a separate visit for every.
And then, I didn't put a page number down, but was the Board of Education truck for $76,000?
That was a capital budget.
It wasn't. I just wanted to make sure it was in the town plan. And then page 13, we paid a small amount of money to this company called Taxer for tax collection costs. You know what that's for? The outsource?
What page is that?
The one
on the bottom.
Yeah.
Payment is actually on the next page.
I mean, it's small. I just was wondering why we are outsourcing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a tax collector, tax collection cost.
Operation supplies.
Tax capital services.
And they're office supplies. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a good catch. But it's not a service. It's a item,
or is it like an annual subscription or something like a service? Must be $100. Yeah,
I'll have to find that one out for you, Amanda. I don't know. And it's a low enough amount, it wouldn't have come
right, in. Right, it's not, yeah.
For signature anyway.
Hugely important. Then I noticed that we paid for the internship, so it would just be great for us to get regular report outs on the projects that he is working on, just so that we, since we're paying for him, it'd be great to know what he's working on. And then I noticed that we paid 3 months for the annex, the cost of the temporary building. I was just wondering why we were 3 months behind on that. Did they not invoice us, or?
I think they sent the bills to the incorrect email address.
Oh. Okay. As long as it's not our fault. That's it for me.
I'll just go on record saying that I hate email bills.
Yeah.
They're very difficult because sometimes they look like spam.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
We try to be on the lookout for the ones that we know come regularly that way, and that is one that comes regularly that way. But I think it went to the wrong email address.
Any other questions?
I have a quick question, Jim. Yeah. You might know the answer to this. This East Hampton Auto Parts, do they deliver?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not going there
every other day. We're not going there. They deliver, and they deliver faster than Manchester.
Okay. I figured
there was, which is why we
that was the case, in. But I just saw any.
It's around the road all the time. That's it.
Yeah, they had, apparently the service is better from them than from one that's a little closer.
Yeah, they're in Napa, right?
Yeah, Napa.
Yeah, so Broad Street probably be places to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, Tony.
Page 2, Beaver Solutions. I know what that is because the Beaver Deceiver device is on land owned by the Bolton Land Trust, and I've helped maintain that in the past by wading into the water and clearing out the device. So I'm just wondering what kind of maintenance by the way, I love the guy who did the work. I think he did an excellent job. I really like him, but I'm just wondering what kind of maintenance was done this last time.
I haven't gotten a report from him, but when I've asked him in the past, you know, he cleans it, he adjusts it. He makes sure that there is no, you know, tears or bends in the wire, straightens everything out.
Okay.
It's not a huge charge. It is a recurring charge annually.
Well worth it, in my opinion.
No, to keep that beaver dams away, you bet.
Yeah. Although I think as soon as the beaver device went in, the beavers left.
They've moved up and down that water course pretty regularly. We sometimes have problems downstream. We sometimes have problems upstream, but we've not had a recurring problem there. And we did. I mean, we had road flooding at one point.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. So it'll be, they are cute.
And they moved all the way down to the French Road section.
They have, yeah.
They're in Minnesota, too. So they had tractors go out there to try and clean them up.
No,
trappers,
I hope.
Pardon me?
No kill trappers, I hope.
No, maybe the trap doesn't kill them, but the trapper does.
Did you have another question?
I just have one more question. I know.
It's okay.
Page 14, tie-in bond. The
new beaver hat in the next meeting.
The tie-in bond bill.
Yep.
That was only for them designing the demolition and helping on the RFP. It's not actual working. Right. No. Yeah. So I mean, would you just explain what
that? So they've done two pieces for us at this point. And there's been two bills, and I don't know if one got paid in the last AP or not. Anything. So the other one was for around $16,000, if I remember. And that was for the actual work of doing the testing and helping compile a report. And this piece is for, you know, compiling the report and putting together about 300 pages of bid spec.
Bid spec for?
For the demolition and abatement.
Okay. All right. So
they are billing us as per our agreement. We have a pre-bid walkthrough tomorrow at Notch Road. They will be present, and we will be billed from them on an hourly basis from this point for the monitoring and work that they do with us.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All in favor? Aye. Six. Yes. Next is we need to set a date for the Finance and Administrative Subcommittee meeting for the first selectman's pay and the town administrator's review. I have those here, and we need to get together to collect the reviews and move forward with that. So it's between Tim, Gwen, Mather, myself, and Jim. We need to set a date. And this will also have to go to public hearing as well. So
The first selection.
Okay. So we want to try to push it all out on the same public hearings rather than have several.
As the same public hearing as what? As the ordinance?
As the ordinance. Okay.
And yes. Could you tell me what you said about you have the reviews? What does that mean?
Oh, no. Just everybody's got to fill one out.
I get it. Okay. Thank you.
And then we can compile those and move forward with that committee meeting, maybe, if we haven't gathered.
Okay.
I think the way that it's been done in the past is that the Board of Selectmen fill out the review form, and it goes back to one person.
Right.
And usually that person enlists Kathy's aid to compile the results of that. And then the group gets together to chat about it again, and Ray makes a recommendation to the Board of Selectmen. I think Bob Mora kind of took point on it last time.
I'd be more than happy to have someone else take the point.
You're not on the committee.
So. I'm not on the committee, so. But simply had everyone do it. Email a copy back to whoever I was in charge at that point, and then compile the data so that when we met, everyone can see.
Or we could just turn the review form into a Google form, and then it would automatically be compiled.
Well, this was before that.
I'm just trying to be efficient.
Well, you can, but that's
so.
Oh, but you already killed the trees. Okay, I don't know. But compiling.
Oh, it's a lot easier with the Google. You're a pain in the ass. Excuse me, who's a painter? Yeah. Do it the other way. Yes, I'd much rather do it that way. With a Google form, you just fill out the blanks and you got it.
Yeah, well, everybody will have
it. Everybody
at this point. I mean, if you want to put it on Google form, you know how to find this all. And for me and for Pam. Okay.
So
what's a good date for?
I can do that, thank you.
This committee meeting.
What are we thinking?
How long do you think the meeting will last?
Could be a 5-minute meeting. I don't know. I wouldn't.
We're going to be talking about the review.
Well, no, we're just going to discuss what to do with the review. We need the whole board. Oh, no, we can go over the results of the review. Yeah.
So we should dedicate, I'd say, at least an hour to an hour and a half then.
Right.
And how long do people think they'll need to fill it out?
Well, that's the secret, right? I don't know if you'll get them fast enough to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can pull together a form this weekend and get it out by.
That's nice.
Sunday.
Do you want to try for the? We have an AP meeting at 6 o'clock on the 17th. Do we want to try for an 8:30 meeting?
8:30 a.m.
Yeah,
17th. That works for me.
17th, you said.
Yeah.
8:30 a.m.
Yep.
That'll work.
Yep.
So it's a finance and administration.
Subcommittee.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So it says here the first, talk about the first selectman's pay. Did this subcommittee ever do, like, I think the plan was to do more research and investigation, right?
And I think that's all been compiled by a member of the town. I don't know how much you want.
I don't think I ever saw that.
He brought it to several meetings.
It wasn't very comparable. Like, I thought we agreed that the committee needed to get together to do more research too, like, because it was just random towns that he pulled. It was hard to compare models. You want to compare towns that have similar models and similar responsibilities, potentially similar, you know, sizes or some type of metric that's.
Right. Is that part of what the subcommittee does?
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
So we'll do that.
Okay. If nothing else, I think the subcommittee could decide what information they want and where they want it collected from. And that would be a great project for our intern.
Yeah.
So maybe that should be the focus of the discussion at that meeting. And, you know, Tim should be able to turn the information around pretty quickly for you.
So we're going to stick with the 8:30?
I won't be available until about 10 on the 17th. So if you can start without me, that's fine.
Well, we would be talking about the results of your review.
So it'll be executive session, which Jim will have the right to attend should he choose.
Okay. So did you want to be present for those conversations?
You will need time to discuss the results without me in the room, which I think is quite appropriate. So I have no issue with your team doing that to begin with. I think, you know, typically, and I've only been through this a couple of times, but I think typically what we've done is the committee has worked on the reviews and compiling the results and making recommendations to the full board. The board does that in executive session. And then at some point I come into the executive session and become a part of the discussion. And, you know, the things that you'll be looking at are things that I do well, some areas that might need some improvement. You know, look at, you know, goals for the upcoming year and decide whether or not I deserve a pay increase.
Yes.
Was there any discussion or thought to getting feedback from his supervisees as the people who work with him on it? Not like everybody, but the directors, because I know in the past, I believe that has been done. I don't know how long ago, but only because we're peripheral, right? We talk to, I mean, I know you talk to him a lot more than the rest of us, right? But
I'll respond to that, Mayor.
Yeah.
We have, we asked the department heads if they would like to comment on that, to send it to either had it direct, in that case it was to me, but whomever your committee sets. And so, yeah, that's appropriate.
Could we do the same thing, but could we do it as a Google form so that responses are anonymous?
I'm not talking about the form, I'm talking about the process. Who we contacted were the department heads for comments on if they wish to comment on Jim's performance. You're the review committee, and get the comments to us. They're not to fill out this form.
No.
They're
but
simply
I could create a separate form so that they could submit anonymous comments in case people don't feel comfortable being identified.
If they're not going to identify it, then I wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're going to give me a comment without your name on it, throw it in the wastebasket.
Well,
no. You haven't got the guts enough. Listen, no. If you don't have the guts enough to stand up and defend your position on somebody, being your boss or being someone else, I have an issue with you. As a former chief executive.
And it should have been brought up by then anyways.
Right.
That much more issue.
Yes. Right.
I'm not saying it's negative. Negative or positive. You.
I mean, it's
no,
not public information. It's just going to the board.
I will say that we've done that before, and we just haven't gotten a lot of participation. I think the last time we had one participant.
And one person.
Right, and I've heard feedback that we're not getting participation because it's not anonymous. Quite frankly.
Well, then,
and
then suck it up.
To us, the board, right, with how you take that feedback, right, whether it's anonymous or identified, right, like, you can take it with a grain of salt. It's not saying if someone submits something that, like, we're letting it necessarily influence.
Well, then it's got to be known that their comments are going to be taken with a grain of salt.
Well,
so it could be useless.
Our like feedback,
said,
right?
Going to get thrown in the trash, so.
I mean, it's going to the committee. It's not going to Jim.
Right.
I mean, speaking from the private, you know, nonprofit sector, right? Employees have a right to go to the board and remain anonymous, at least to the person that they're. If we are in agreement that it would remain anonymous with us and not get to Jim, who submitted the feedback, then that, I mean, that's a commitment we are making, that we are keeping it confidential, and that.
And that's the way it was.
That's always been
there. That's the way it's always been.
Okay.
So there's no reason for somebody not to give their name, because
okay.
It goes just to the committee.
Okay.
That's it.
Well,
so,
then I think we should try to do something like that.
Do you want to draft? So does Kathy have an access to everybody's email where Amanda drafted something? It could get sent to the department heads.
Yeah,
we can just do an email the same way we have. Like, if Bob wants them to send emails to him, if we're not doing it anonymous, I don't know.
Well, no, it's not going to Bob. Bob doesn't want to.
Oh, right.
Oh, no. No,
you're
welcome
to send them to me. We can
I'm not on the committee. He
yeah.
is.
Yeah, Bob's not on the committee. So,
I dealt that when we were just five of us. Now there's seven. I'd gladly pass the ball when it comes to. Someone else.
Okay. I do think that the staff people should be given specific questions, though, because
yeah.
I think it's harder. I think it's easy. I think we'll get a better response rate if they're asked specific questions rather than asked, would you like to give any feedback? So a little bit of structure.
That would be the subcommittees. I think yeah. you guys have come up with something like that.
Or you want it to happen before the subcommittee,
yeah.
right? So that you guys have the feedback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be based on some of these questions, I think, would be relevant. Yeah.
Then the 17th is only good for us to put together the questions for the staff for the review.
Unless you want, Amanda to take a stab at it to review
the questions? Yeah, but the committee's going to have to review it before you send it out.
Well, I mean, if you want to send it out to the committee and we can approve it.
Can we approve it electronically?
Basis,
yeah.
I guess.
Because I'm just thinking a few, just modify some of these
questions.
Yes, right.
I can't think of any more.
Really, really brief. Brief. And so
I think
we could do that by email.
Yeah. Okay.
So looking at this very, very quickly, because I'm not familiar with it, I think that a summary question for number one, number two, number two, which is a label, number three, skipping four, five, six, he goes to mention the board directly, skipping seven, including eight. And then what do you identify as strengths and what are areas you would identify for improvement?
So you're saying four?
One, two, three. 8, and then the first two questions on the last page.
One, two, three, and eight?
Yes. Oh, I'm missing one.
Which one are you missing?
The last one. Nope, this. There's there a nine?
Where's a nine?
I don't have a nine.
Here, take this one.
You want three?
I have a blank page.
Here.
Is this extra?
Is there a knife? Well, I got hands.
We need more hands.
Well, Amanda's going to make it into a...
I would include nine. Thing. So, 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, and the first two questions on the last page.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. I think
we get a list of department heads from Catherine.
Can I ask for clarification, department heads or direct reports? Because that's two different things.
You have department heads that don't report to you?
I have direct reports that are not department
heads. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, who would those be?
Well, the two that come to mind very quickly are Kathy and Swell.
Oh, I think, yes, so direct reports, right?
Right.
Direct reports, okay. If people are in agreement.
How many direct reports, I mean, how many, so then the department heads all report to you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think it should be direct. It should be department heads and direct reports. So, how many department heads?
But there are department heads that don't report to me.
Oh.
Registrars or voters don't report to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but
the fire chief does not report to me.
Yeah, I don't think they. Yeah, only direct reports.
But then that's only. Oh.
Department heads who are direct reports and non-department heads who are, so all direct reports.
Those
who
report to Jim.
I'll make.
Okay. Yep.
And we could try it and see what comes back. I'm not going to hold any hope on any of it.
No, they would have to have it back by a certain date. So,
yeah.
The meeting is the 17th.
Yeah.
When would you like them to have it back?
Day before.
Well,
the 16th.
When's the 17th? Right? So maybe by close of business on the 13th?
Yeah.
So you guys have the weekend. I can send out the results.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
Hey, I don't have to sit on the committee, so I know.
Give that a whirl. So,
yeah, Kathy has the form and word. I think that would be helpful.
She has the what?
The form.
Oh, the word. Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Backing up. Went too far.
We can do it on other.
That was number 8. Okay, we'll do another. Other. Number 9. Other. We have a packet of.
Everybody got in your mail.
But we need to check. We do it under other rather than AP. It needs to be added.
To the AP?
All right. We're going to go back to number 7 under the AP. And we need to approve. How much was it?
$615,317.35.
Combined.
Yes, ma'am.
Combined. Two added together.
That's the amount of refunds that were.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And we need signatures on both before we leave from at least 4 members. So is there a motion? Or you made the motion?
I'm making the motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
What's the breakdown roughly between the people who didn't, who are just going to let themselves get a credit next year versus people who ask for refunds?
She doesn't know because she's had additional ones come in that she hasn't been able to process yet. They came in beyond the date that was required.
Money-wise, this is over 60%.
Okay.
Right.
Because it was $1,061,000
right.
And something.
Right. So,
okay.
Right. So
it's going to be somewhere in that range.
So more people requested refunds than letting it go for a credit
machine. Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's 6 yes and 1 absent.
Now I can go on social media and say that people should be excited in time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, 2 days ago, there was a...
Do we want us to simply sign on the
face? If you can sign, sign on both copies on the first page, that would be great.
Okay.
We only need 4. She said
we just pass it down.
Put all 6 on. Okay, do we have an other?
Yes. But we'd like you to consider adding a discussion and action about a regional assistance to firefighters grant application for portable radios.
Like to make a motion to add.
Let me just pass these now. Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are we starting?
I'd like to add, make a motion to add a regional AFG portable radio grant of $16,556.
$16,532.
All right, and it's going to be a transfer. No,
that was something else. That was the transfer.
And that's for
portable radios. It's a regional grant through Collin County Mutual Aid, and the best person to talk about it would be Chief Dixon, if you want to get some information from him. But you first need to finish adding it to the agenda.
So is there a second to add it to the agenda?
Yes, I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. So Bruce is requesting some new radios. Are you there, Bruce?
Yes, good evening.
Just to add it to the agenda, yeah.
Floor is yours.
You got the floor.
Thank you, Mr. First Selectman and Mr. Town Administrator. Back approximately 2018, the fire department went for a FEMA grant, Federal Emergency Management Grant, for a new radio system. We were turned down. We applied for it again. Mike Aramita wrote these grants, very detailed, a lot of information. We were turned down again. Our radios continue to fail, quite a few radios. Hence, I bought some radios last year to keep communication and safety of our members primos there. I turned around, I started a conversation with the county coordinator for Collin County Mutual Aid Dispatch, 17 departments, and entertained a motion to get a countywide regional grant for radios. With a number of 17 different fire chiefs that didn't get a lot of headway, I have partnered up with the Collin Fire Department and Summers Fire Department to go in for a regional grant for all new portable radios, the 7-800 radio frequencies, just like the state police use. The state police are on a state of Connecticut radio system. It's clear as a bell, very, very easy to understand, and very few dead areas, contrary to what we were using right now. I've got a gentleman from Collin Fire Department is in the process of putting this together. I talk to him almost every day, even when he was on vacation last week at holiday. And I've got a meeting with him tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. This is a notification to you, and it's up to you if you want me to proceed with it, to pursue this grant. It's $169,000 of radios, what I'm applying for. And it would be a 10% match. The town would be responsible for about $16,500. And Jim Rupert's got the paper right in front of him. Pretty close to that, though. That would be if we were given the grant for Collin, Summers, and Bolton, then that monies would be asked for to pay for the difference between $169,000 and $165,000 and the $16,000, that paid for the $16,000, excuse me. I think it's a great opportunity for us. It gets us into the new system. This 700-800 system, there's a number of communities around that have gone with a radio system like this, not only for the fire department, but it includes their public works, it includes their parks department, includes their school systems. It's a way to go on radios. But anyway, that's what we're looking to do. A lot of work in the background here. And I wanted to bring it to your attention tonight to see what your thoughts on it. Should I continue with the meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or not?
I have a question too. Go ahead. Amanda, you're up.
That dollar value of $169,000, is that just Bolton's portion or for all three towns?
No. That's just Bolton section. No, Collin is probably twice that amount, and Summers is in range of 75% of that. Are over of what we have, yeah. We're the smallest piece of the pie.
Okay. So we would be responsible for the full $16,000. I just wanted to understand that.
Something for you to know as you're considering this is the Board of Selectmen has put some money aside in the capital budget for radios. Okay. There is more than enough in there to cover the grant match. I believe we have around $50,000 in capital for radios.
From this past year?
No, it's not. We didn't put money in last year.
Okay.
Year.
Yeah. I was like, I don't
remember. Because we had to go forward with it.
Because they've not been able to get a grant, we started putting money aside for the project.
Well, that's great.
So, go ahead. That's what I was going to bring up. That we did. We do have our proportion already in capital, more than enough. So, I think it's a great idea, and I'd like to. I don't know if you need a motion or.
Yeah, we should.
Well, I would move.
I have one question. Hold on.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll stop you. now, Bruce, you had said that these radios are for the firehouse, the town offices, and the schools? Well, how am I supposed to read that? Are you saying
negative?
60 radios coming? Okay.
No, that's an incorrect statement. Okay. What I stated is there are several municipalities around us that have adopted to go with the Connecticut radio system, the 700, 800 meg system. And in doing so, they've included not only the fire department, but their those that have a local police department, their public works, their school, et cetera. Back when this system first came out with the state of Connecticut on their radio system, they went to expand it. And Jim, maybe you can remember this. They asked me what we would have for radios on a bandwidth. It'd be really complicated to get into it now, and I've got other people that are better at it than I, but there's certain bandwidths that are available, and the bands are being used up so quickly. I reserved back in the day, probably back in the 2016 or 17, 200 numbers, I believe, 212 radios spaces on the state system for the town of Bolton. We're looking at, I can't remember the number, 30 portable radios. I might be wrong on that. 30 portable radios. Later, we'll have to purchase mobile radios, which cannot be part of the grant. But to your question, is the town included with the school and the public works? No, they are not. Not in this system. They can be. We can purchase radios to put them all on the same system. Talk about interoperability, which we have a UHF frequency, which we've got the antenna up on Marcus's tower. It's up at the top of the tower with LifeStar. And that right now, we use that frequency as our second frequency at fire department. The school has that frequency in one or two radios we use for communication when we have emergencies at the school. And the state troopers also, I've given them a radio, along with the town administrator and the emergency management dispatcher, director. So we have a small interoperability, but it's not like the school, which rents radios from another vendor at a good amount every month. And
so this
number of other towns have option to do different. Yeah.
This grant is based on the number of radios that you're purchasing?
Correct. Portable radios, one radio for every seated position in the trucks and the apparatus, as FEMA has given us the permission to do. Yep. They set the parameters of what the radios can be. They say you cannot have mobile radios in your trucks. You cannot change the base station radio with the grant funds in your firehouse. So those would come out later, and hence, with a capital improvement project, that you've got the 50 set aside for now, and I think... Jim, correct me. I think I put in for capital $212,000 total for this next pack capital grant, which would include that 50 already that you set aside. And that would, if the grant was turned down, that's what we're looking to replace the radios. These radios average about $5,000 a piece.
Yeah. I'm done. I have another question.
Yeah.
When you're done. Our permanently mounted radios will still function with the new portables, right?
Bob, say that one more time. I just pushed the button. Radios we interact with the new radios we're going to purchase? Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So basically, we can do as we've had in the past for doing a transfer of, let's say, the mobile unit in the station and on each vehicle, set aside funds over a period of time in capital so that we can do it in one-shot deal or in proportions as we go along. It doesn't have to be a one-shot everything, correct?
You're correct. You're 100% right there. And realistically, the radios that was purchased last year, if we get this grant, and this wouldn't happen next month. We're talking multiple months out before we even get an award on that, and then time factor after that to get the radios in. The current radios that we have, they can be repurposed to another department in the town. Maybe the highway department, maybe parks department, whatever. You know, it's interoperability here. Yep.
Thank you.
Does that all make sense now? Okay. So we want to make a motion to approve
the application for the grant.
Okay.
For the FEMA grant. I'm so moved.
Right.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? All right. Six yes. Get your pen going.
Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chief.
I'm sorry. Who seconded?
Mather.
Mather Clark.
Okay. Thank you.
So next is the number 10 is Jim's administrative report.
Is there anything anybody wants to go over that's in the report?
I forgot to read it. No.
Well, the big happenings are the Lori Road thing, right? That's coming up.
Yep.
Are they planning on a start date on that yet?
They're hoping next week.
Okay.
Obviously.
And the walkthrough for the Notch Road is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
All the dates are on the website for when everything else is due, when the bids are due, and when we propose.
It's a rapid turnaround.
And
just one question: do we know how many people have come to that?
I have no clue. No. I know that we were reaching out to folks that came before.
Okay, so we'll have
it. So we hope we have a good turnout.
Yeah, it'll be good.
And is that for demolition and remediation?
Yes. One of the things that we learned with all of the testing that was done is that the front and back walls of the oldest part of the building not only are contaminated with PCBs, but they're also structural. And so we can't do them as separate projects. Demolition and abatement have to happen simultaneously. So it is for both pieces.
And the ARPA money, does that cover both? Or can we spend that ARPA money on either demo and abatement or
we
both?
We have to abate first, no matter what.
Yeah.
Right, but there's certain things that you can't abate without.
That's right. Without
also
demo.
Also
right.
Tear it down.
Yeah.
Yes, right. It could be either or both.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll have a contract signed by December 31?
Yes.
Or the amount of the ARPA funds.
Yeah, there goes our trucks.
And are the people coming tomorrow? Are they going to be people who might do both?
Yes.
So that we won't have, there won't be two teams and two, there won't be two bids.
Typically what you'll have is you'll have one contractor, like, for instance, the one that comes to mind is Stamford Wrecking. You remember they were a really strong bidder the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were essentially going to act as a general contractor for the entire project. And they were going to hire out the abatement and do the demolition themselves. They have relationships with abatement contractors. And I think that that's exactly what we will get tomorrow, is we'll get companies like maybe Stamford Wrecking, Best Tech, companies that are capable of managing the breadth of the entire project, and we'll have some contractors that work with them doing the abatement portion of the project.
Okay. Are you optimistic that the number that we're going to hear is within our budget?
I don't think ARPA funds are going to cover the entire project.
How much did we set? We set aside some extra in the capital budget. I don't remember 140 or
100 and something. We're going to be looking in the capital budget very carefully about monies that have, like, for projects that are completed and there's leftover money. So we're going to be looking very carefully at that to see what we can work on reallocating if we need for this project. We've also bid this in such a way that it's kind of a la carte. So let's say that we have enough money to tear down the building and do the abatement, but we don't have enough money to, you know, fill in the hole and make it pretty, right? We can do that at a later date.
And just have the kids jump into the hole.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be left. It's not going to be left unsafe.
But yeah. Jim, can you remind me of the amount of ARPA funds we have?
Well, it was a little. It was about $1.5 million, and we've spent a little bit of it on the project at the Bolton Center School, and we spent a little bit of it on tying bond so far for the support of the contract,
which we needed to do.
Right.
What's this ABO stand for?
Assisted building.
Oh, okay. Let me throw some off. Yes, ma'am.
So Connecticut Countryside, their AI workshop, that reminded me, and at the conference today, I was reminded of it. So I don't know if you saw my post on social media today. I'm sharing the Connecticut Countryside website out.
Right.
Do we have a list of contact information for our local business people, and have we personally emailed them or sent the information out about Connecticut's Countryside?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I've received mine.
And we currently have Josh, who was last year's intern working for us part-time, who's actually physically visiting our businesses and helping them get on Connecticut Countryside's website.
Awesome. I was going to maybe offer to help people. I'm glad I didn't because.
Well, it's and if you
bored,
it's technology and not everybody's good.
If you look at Connecticut Countryside's website, Bolton is very well represented,
but,
compared to the other towns that are part of
that. And then, does Crapley's always donate the wreath, or is this a new thing?
It's a new thing.
Well. Right, because he's the half-brother of my half-sister, so because it was newly purchased by Bob Ballack, so who owns Outback. So that's good to hear. I will reach out and thank him.
Is there any other questions?
Go ahead. You make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. That's six of yes. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.